Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
2 Samuel chapter 17, in the presence of my enemies. Very brief review. We're in a terrible time in this nation of Israel as David is having to flee from the rebellion of his very son, Absalom. He has sent Hushai back to penetrate the inner circle of Absalom. God blesses, gives him that access, and he gives counsel which defeats the counsel of Ahithophel. Hushai sends word to David through the network that he set up, through the two priests, their boys. Those boys get the word, and they are helped along the way. And no matter how much, though, they tried to hide, they were spotted. Two men of Absalom's came, knocking on the house, but they were hidden. And they said, no, they're not here. The boys go on their way, and the message makes it safely to David. David hastens, crosses the Jordan, and is now safely on the other side, heading to the town of Maanaim. Ahithophel, finding out that his counsel is not obeyed, he hangs himself. A man who can give great counsel to others gave himself very, very poor counsel. We saw in this whole situation the picture of Christ where Judas, like Ahithophel, betrayed David / Jesus Christ. One who was a confidant that he traveled with, Jesus, of course, having Judas in his 12 disciples. David, a dear friend, counselor, confidant with Ahithophel, and yet both betrayed and both ended up hanging themselves. What a story we have in the Bible of Jesus Christ. And from Genesis to Revelation, the theme is the same. Many, many pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. God's people are now poised for battle in the Civil War. The armies are drawing close. And what a testimony before the world. Very, very sad situation here. Well, tonight we're going to do verses 26 to 29. Let us read our text passages. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Ogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Well, very simple outline. Verses 26 and 27. David and Absalom have arrived safely across the Jordan. And 28 and 29, the supplies are listed that are brought for David and the people. Well, tonight we're going to obviously consider these as we think about it. And tonight is called In the Presence of My Enemies. Let's start at verse 26. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. They are now passed over the Jordan. Look at verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan. So they are both across Jordan, getting themselves situated and aligning for battle. David, of course, is trying to flee. Absalom is pursuing him. And if you'll remember, he follows him with all the men of Israel. He has assigned the leadership of the army to Amasa. And so here they are in their camps. And three men, and apparently quite an entourage must have been with them, bring these incredible gifts to David and the people. 27. It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim. These three men come with gifts and supplies to David. It is interesting that as we think about this time of civil war, there are people with David. There are people back in Jerusalem, and yet there are these three apparently very wealthy men. Where are they? Just kind of interesting that there are loyal people, and yet they're not necessarily with David there in Mahanaim. They were not with him in the travel. So it's just kind of interesting as we think about God's people. We're not all in the same place. David is being hotly pursued. These three men did not have to be near the battle, and they willfully chose to come. And of course, others sent back at great risk to be in Jerusalem at this time. Well, let's consider briefly these three men. Shobai. He is from the city that was attacked when David took Bathsheba. Look at 2 Samuel 17:27. It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon. Got it? Where he's from? Take a look at 2 Samuel 11:1, where we have the beginning of David's adultery. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. It is amazing that these people who are enemies, and yet one of them has seen the light and said, I will support David. David, of course, had stayed behind, and the awful sin that he got into. If you could go back, and I just want to briefly remind you of this as we think of this city of Rabbah and the Ammonites. Nahash, in chapter 11 of 1 Samuel, attacked the people of Jabesh-Gilead when Saul had first become the king. There was strife back then. Saul rallied a force, delivered the people of Jabesh-Gilead, did not utterly destroy the Ammonites. Here they are, mentioned again, but this time, Shobai, showing himself in great support of David. This man is not holding an age-old grudge. He moved on. He saw life. He saw that David was the rightful king. Even against his own son, he didn't rejoice. He said, I will support you. And he proved it by his deeds. He was sympathetic and generous to King David. Machir is next mentioned in our study here. Chapter 17, verse 27. It came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and here it is, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar. This guy's interesting. If you go back several chapters in 2 Samuel, David had ascended to the throne and he says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I can bless them for Jonathan's sake? And one said, yeah, there's this guy named Mephibosheth. He said, where is he? 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 4, where is he? The king said to them, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, he, Mephibosheth, is in the house of Machir, the son of Abiel, in Lodabar. This man has a record, apparently, of being generous and kind. If you remember, Mephibosheth was but a boy at the time in 1 Samuel 31 when Saul is in battle against the Philistines and he dies. When the word comes back to the family, apparently a nurse, someone tending to this boy, this young boy, picks him up to flee because obviously they think they're going to be killed. And in that flight, apparently there was an accident and the boy was crippled for life in his feet. We don't hear about him until David looks for him, but apparently Machir applied himself and said, this boy needs care. He apparently is a wealthy man and he uses it to help others. And he took Mephibosheth in such that it says, behold, he, Mephibosheth, is in the house of Machir. This is the one, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. So this man has a track record of being kind and generous. Apparently, he must have some wealth. And he uses it to help others. Case in point, he was apparently loyal and faithful to the house of Saul because he helped Mephibosheth. Even when King Saul was a disaster as a king. And he helped David, even though his house is a mess because of adultery, murder, and now his son's in rebellion. And he says, I'll help you. If we only help perfect people, put your wallet away because there's nobody left to help. This man helps people and has a proven record. Now, chapter 17, verse 27, Machir, the son of Amiel. If we go now and compare some scripture, we have genealogies in 1 Chronicles. And I admit, genealogies don't make great leisure reading. But they do make wonderful, wonderful studies. 1 Chronicles 3:5. These were born unto him, David, in Jerusalem, Shimeah, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Thor. Who was Solomon's mother? Bathsheba. Bathshua, the daughter of Amiel. Chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, Machir, the son of Amiel. Bathsheba and Machir are brother and sister. You got it? And Machir, the son of Amiel, Bathshua, the daughter of Amiel. You want to talk a giant family conflict. You see, though, Machir is quite unlike Grandpa Ahithophel. Ahithophel was so bitter at David for what happened with Bathsheba that he tried to take 12,000 men and kill David. It's all I want. Well, his counsel was rejected, and he hanged himself. Machir, that's his sister. And he's not bitter. He's not bitter at King Saul, even though he's a lousy king. He's not bitter at David, even though he took his sister, murdered her husband. Do you have that kind of forgiving spirit? Folks, it's in the hand of God. Do you think David is suffering greatly? That's an understatement. How about King Saul? Did he suffer? He finally killed himself too. He fell on his sword. God takes care of vengeance. It's not ours to do. It's ours to do right. This man has helped Mephibosheth of the house of Saul. This man has helped David, the one who committed adultery with his sister and killed her husband. Barzillai. Chapter 17, verse 27 at the end. Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim. Quote, here comes Barzillai, an old man of 80, and as the historian tells us, a very great man. His enormous wealth was all at the disposal of David and his followers, and he provided the king the substance while he lay at Mahanaim. I want you to consider the words of David as he was laying on his deathbed years later. The whole Absalom rebellion is over. Time has passed. David is now on his deathbed. Look what he says to Solomon. 1 Kings 2:7, "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." He apparently had brought people with family members with him. Solomon, bring them to your table. These are good people. Don't forget them. So it is we have these three men of apparent wealth. How they got together, we don't know. We know they did get together. We know they applied themselves. Do you think it was risky business to carry that sort of supplies when Absalom is moving across the countryside with a massive army? That would have been pretty welcome, and God blessed and protected. They made it, and it got to David. I want us to think about what's happening here at Mahanaim. This town on the east side of Jordan. Here these messengers show up and bring this incredible bounty to David and the people with him. But let's roll back time to Genesis, the time of Jacob, many, 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 many years before. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." Because so many years ago, Jacob was there in desperate need. And what happened? Angels of God met him. And is this not where David is? And angels are, if you will, coming to him? In Jacob's hour of need, God was there. In David's hour of need, God is providing. It's interesting that the word Mahanaim means literally double camp. Double camp. Quote, "God has a multitude of servants, and all these are on the side of believers. The great army of the Lord of hosts consists largely of unseen agents, of forces that are not discernible except in vision or by the eye of faith. Jacob saw two squadrons of these invisible forces which are on the side of righteous men. But David was not met by angels, but by human messengers. Therefore," this brings the second text, "for angels did not meet David, but living creatures of another nature met him, who answered the purpose of David quite as well as angels would have done." God uses literally angels, and God uses people. And Mahanaim is a picture of people in great need, and sometimes God will divinely send, and sometimes He will send divinely through people. Here it is. These people come to David. They obviously knew they were going to be a blessing. That didn't take a genius to figure out. David and his people were not in a position to be finding food. There were no massive grocery stores there to buy, to provide. And of course, they were traveling, and they traveled in haste. And these people stopped and thought, said, "Hey, you know what? We've got the wherewithal to do it. Let's bless them." And so it is, God worked through these three great men. And they brought a bounty of food. When David wrote Psalm 23, you have to think if this time was not on his mind. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Here is Absalom with the men of Israel assembled, ready and poised for battle. A mesa has been set in place over the army, and food arrives for David and the people. Sit down and have a feast. They're exhausted. And God has seen them to it that they made it to Mahanaim, the place where Jacob was blessed by angels, and he is blessed by these three men that have brought a bounty for all of those that have come with him. When you think back in the life of David, God has many times provided divinely through people. I have just listed a few. How about Jonathan, when he was a fugitive? Jonathan, King Saul's son, was a tremendous blessing to David. How about in chapter 23 of 1 Samuel, when Saul and his men were right on the heels of David. They almost got him. And all of a sudden, word comes to King Saul, Saul, the Philistines have attacked. And he had to forsake his pursuit of David because he had to go take care of the Philistines. And David was saying, thank you, God, for the Philistines. Do you think the Philistines knew they spared David's life? When David almost attacked Nabal, Nabal's wife, Abigail, came and said, oh, David, don't do this. And David listened. She helped him. I like this one. I've given you this reference. When David and his men, 600 men, were in Ziklag, they had gotten in alignment almost to go to battle against King Saul. While they are there, the Amalekites attack, burn Ziklag to the ground, and take everything that was left, the women, the children, and anything worth taking. David gets there. The people are ready to stone him. God says, go, you'll recover all. So where do you go? And they start wandering through the desert looking for the Amalekites, and they come upon this dying Egyptian slave. You don't think people who seem to be insignificant are not important. This dying Egyptian slave was once a slave to the Amalekites. In verse 15 of 1 Samuel 30, and David said unto him, this dying Egyptian slave, canst thou bring me down to this company of Amalekites? And the dying Egyptian slave said, swear unto me by my God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me in the hands of my master. I will bring thee down to this company. He was blessed by a dying man laying in the desert. When you feel all is lost and you feel like you're wandering through a desert, Joseph met a certain man that changed his life. David met a dying Egyptian slave that led him to recover all. When you feel like there is no hope, there's all hope. God uses people in the most unusual ways. How about the simplicity of David being blessed by his own servants? In chapter 15, verse 15, and the king's servants said unto the king, behold, David, we know you're fleeing for your life. Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. You're going to stay loyal to me when my own son is trying to kill me? We're here. Do you ever wonder sometimes what some simple words mean? David, whatever you need, I'm with you. The priests willfully went back to serve as spies for David. Chapter 15, verse 25, and the king said to Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again. Show me both. They went back. They blessed him. Do what I need you to do. Hushai went back. We can see that in verse 34. You be my eyes and you get a message to me and you defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. We saw recently the two priests served as spies and they were able to get the word from Hushai to their sons. We see in chapter 17, verse 17, the slave woman, a wench. She was able to direct these boys. Do you think she felt real important in her life? What am I going to do as a slave woman? She helped David as he fled from Absalom. You mean what I did today made it all the way to the king? Yeah. How about the young man, Naaman, woman who hid those messenger boys in verses 18 and 19? I want us to get to some simple points here. Many times we have no idea that we're used of God. And yet God can use us greatly if we would just look to do right. I want you to get this simple point. Everyone can be used by God from a dying slave to a priest. Third, let us thank God for people such as Shobai, Machir, and Barzillai who applied themselves to give generously to David and his people. Fourth, let us apply ourselves as these men to think about others in need. Think about their generous gifts. Verse 28, they brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched corn, beans, lentils, parched pulse, honey, butter, sheep, cheese of kine,
for David, for the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people is hungry, weary, thirsty in the wilderness. They not only came with material goods, they came with the whole idea, somebody else cares. Do you think David needed some encouragement at this time? Surely he did. He got both material and spiritual blessings. Most people don't have the means to do what these men did. But we can remember the simple things that people do that God can still use. We can still be an encouragement. I want you to notice, as you read that list of supplies that were brought, there's something missing. Soldiers and weapons. Because David didn't need that. He had God. God is going to fight when the time comes. Take a look at 2 Samuel 18:8. This is the end of the battle. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the countryside, and the wood devoured more that day than the sword. They went through the woods. They just died. They ran into trees, or trees fell down. I don't know how God did it. I just know that God did it. He didn't need them to bring soldiers and swords and spears and bow and arrow. He needed to sit down and have a feast in the presence of his enemies. These three men paid attention to consider this person has to be hungry, weary, and thirsty in the wilderness. And surely they rose to the occasion. Did you notice something that's missing here? In this very simple passage? It gives a list of all the things, because they said, the people is hungry, weary, and thirsty in the wilderness. There's no record that David said thank you. Now, I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm not saying he did. I think he may be so mentally exhausted from the whole idea of my own family is trying to kill me, to I have to get these people across the Jordan in the middle of the night, and we've got people of all age and all health conditions, and we are now fleeing, and we've made it to Mahanaim, but unfortunately so did Absalom. Battle is coming. He is tired. He is weary. I'm not saying he did not say thank you, but I want you to think about this. Let's assume, let's pretend David did not say thank you. Should these men be offended? Did you do it for earthly recognition, or did you do it because God wanted you to do it? Folks, let me tell you what, you will not get the recognition here on earth that we think we ought to. The truth is, we are to be faithful, and our reward is in heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't be offended if you don't get the thank you and the recognition that you thought you ought to get. I'm not saying David didn't say thank you, but it's not recorded that he did. It doesn't say, and the people all assembled and said, praise God for these men. It doesn't say it. It kind of leaves it open-ended for our thoughts. How would we respond if we applied ourselves to that incredible assembly of supplies, the whole idea of how to move it across the countryside to David and getting it there? What do you expect? Would you be hurt if you didn't get some incredible response? I hope not. Then you did it for the wrong reason. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't say thank you. We should say thank you. We need to be very thankful people. God's people ought to be thankful, and we ought to be helping, and on and on. But people sometimes will disappoint you. Let it go. And sometimes give them a break. You know what? This guy just crossed the Jordan in the middle of the night with a whole lot of people. Doesn't mean David wasn't thankful. Just food for thought. This is the condition of his people. Jesus Christ is the son of David. And this is the condition they're in. Do we realize the power of sin? How much greater the grace of God. Isn't it amazing he can use any of us?
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.